Hi, and welcome to the next episode of Microsoft Dev Radio. This is an exciting episode. We've got the Office 2013 team here to talk about building apps for Office. Now, it's an exciting product, but before we start talking about it, I'm here with Mike Morton, Mark Wilson-Thomas, and I'm here with Sarah Bhatia. Guys, thanks for being on the show, and if you don't mind, let's go around the table and meet who you guys are. Mike, let's start with you.
Hi, Jerry. Mike Morton here. I work on the Visual Studio team, and I'm a program manager, and we're building the Napa product.
Got it. All right. Now, Mark, I'm going to call you Pom throughout the interview here. How you doing?
Fine with me. Hi, I'm Mark Wilson-Thomas. People call me Pom because it's shorter, you know. The beard, apparently, something to do with some Italian opera star. But I'm also a program manager on the Visual Studio team and working with these guys building the Napa product.
Beautiful. And Sarab, I won't call you Pav at all.
Good. That's good.
But tell us who you are.
Well, I'm also on the Visual Studio team developing Napa and working on creating a developer experience for apps for Office.
Excellent. All right. Apps for Office. We've been building apps for Office for generations of the Office product, right? Visual Studio tools for Office. Is that what we're talking about today? Okay. What are we talking about today, Mike?
So, apps for Office and SharePoint. It's a whole new app model that the Office and SharePoint platform teams have created. It's a new unified cloud app model built around web standards. So, if you know how to develop in the web, it's going to be a really easy transition to build apps for Office and SharePoint.
Okay, so let me just dial it back for a second. If you know how to build on the web, you mean HTML and JavaScript.
Yes, that's right. Yep.
Okay, so this is a big change from Visual Studio Tools for Office. What? Explain it to me. So this is Napa, right? Code name Napa, but what's going on?
Yeah, so Napa is just the development environment which allows you to build these apps. I think our tagline, we really want to make it the best place to get started in building apps for Office and SharePoint. The apps themselves are HTML and JavaScript based, as you mentioned, and you actually have a JavaScript object model that lets you interact with Office if you're creating apps for Office, or similarly, you have SharePoint apps that also have a SharePoint client-side object model in JavaScript that allows you to create apps for SharePoint. So it's really using web technologies to build your apps now instead of using the traditional .NET kind of add-in infrastructure there.
Now, wait, let me stop you, sir. I want to go a little deeper on that.
So
I'm using web technologies, but I'm deploying to a different place too, right? This isn't an add-in.
It's not, and it is actually, you can think of it as a website. So you are running a website. But when you talk about deployment, Office also has a Office store where these apps are going to be available. So you can actually put up your apps on the store, and then your customers can go to the store and just buy your app from the marketplace and add it to their Office app or to their SharePoint site.
Cha-ching! and when they're adding that thing, really all they're adding is a reference to a website, as Sarabha said, from a dev point of view, what you're putting up there is a website, but it has a special kind of pipe through the JavaScript API that connects it to the Office document or to the SharePoint environment that lets you manipulate document data, get document data, push stuff back to the document, talk to lists in SharePoint, all of those great things that you want to do. So imagine being able to take the best of your website and connect it with the best of Office and SharePoint, and you've really got that's what the app for Office and SharePoint model is all about.
Now, hang on, Pav, let me ask you again. So I'm going to build an app on Office. Well, what are my options? I mean, there's a lot to Office. There's Outlook, there's Word, there's Excel, there's PowerPoint. What all can I do to leverage this new approach?
Yeah, so I mean, you've basically got a ton of different options here, but you can build content-style apps for Office, and those things just sit in a little pane inside the Office document.
That's Word or Excel,
Word or Excel. Those both are able to support that. You can put something up in a task pane. You can even have these things run in the web application versions of those things. So when you run up Office 365 and you open up an Excel document, and you're opening it in the web version of Excel, let's say, or the web version of Word, all of those capabilities are still going to be there. So because these are literally just web technologies. They can run right in the browser, just the same as if they were running in the rich version of that, the installed version of Excel.
Okay, suddenly I feel like I see the strategy clear as a bell. Now when I write this type of application, I could run it on the full client if I want to, right? And it's right there, part of, say, Outlook, if I write an app that does that. But if I go into the web version of that, I get the same fidelity, the same – I couldn't do that if I was building the Visual Studio Tools for Office add-in, right? That's only for the client.
Actually, and that's exactly right. And it gets even better if you think about the big picture. You know, we want everyone to go to http://dev.office.com. We want them to sign up for a dev site. They're going to add the NAPA app, which is going to run right inside the browser. And now, right inside the browser, using the NAPA app, you're going to build apps that when you hit run to actually run them, they're going to go and they're going to load up in the Office web applications right inside the browser again. So you are building apps for the cloud in the cloud and not having to install anything on your desktop at all.
Okay, wait a minute.
So I build apps from my mom's house all the time now.
Yep.
Yeah, she doesn't have stuff installed. So wait a minute. So you go to dev.office.com, and I'm creating an Office 365 account that I'll be developing inside of, right? And I'll go in, and you said I'll install NAPA. When I use NAPA, it looks kind of like a little web-based mini Visual Studio. I really don't have to have anything installed.
That's correct. So when you go to dev.office.com, you'll sign up for what we call a dev site or a dev subscription. And it's meant for a single user developer. And they don't install anything. They just add the NAPA app from the store. And, of course, that's free. They launch NAPA. And like you said, you're now in, think of it as a Visual Studio companion, a web companion, where you're now in the browser. You have a great editor. You see all your files. You've got commands where you can run and retract apps. It's like a web companion of Visual Studio.
Now, I've used NAPA, so I can say it's not Visual Studio, not to be confused, right? We're not trying to say this is Visual Studio. Surely there are things in the browser that I can't do, that I can do in Visual Studio. If I wanted to build an app for Office like this, I can use Visual Studio, right?
Oh, that's absolutely right. And in fact, not only that, we make it really easy for you because when you've been working in the NAPA environment for a while, there's a wonderful semi-magical little feature that's in the corner there which says open in Visual Studio.
My favorite feature, by the way, for some reason.
I love that feature. That's his baby. And it's,
which basically just wraps it up and brings it down to your local machine.
It does everything you need. So regardless of what it is you happen to have on your box at the time, it takes care of all the details of getting you ready to run Visual Studio and run that very same project that you were working with in NAPA right in the Visual Studio environment. So you can, when you reach that point where you find the need for one of the features that is in Visual Studio, for instance, perhaps you want to work with some source code control or advanced debugging scenario, or you want to add another kind of web project. Remember, we're building web projects here, so you might want to build a more sophisticated web topology than is possible in the NAPA environment.
A real common thing is you'll want to add server code to that web project.
Right.
In NAPA, it's all around HTML, JavaScript, CSS.
NAPA is building all the stuff that runs on the client. That's why it's on JavaScript. Nothing's executing on the server. It's all locally executed. Now, wait, I want to go back for a second, Pop, to what you were saying. If you download that or if you, say, open in Visual Studio, you get all the pieces you need. Just run us through, what are the pieces you need to build an application like this?
If you're going to do this in Visual Studio, you're going to need Visual Studio 2012.
Okay.
And as you know, that's RTM now, so you can go ahead and get that, but you'll get it quite easily through running our WebP IP. We'll point you up for that. But there's also a collection of add-ins which we put in on top of that, which support Office 2013 development, both for SharePoint and for the apps for Office and SharePoint models. So those add-ins will be installed as well. It's all transparent to you under the covers. You don't really necessarily need to know what's going on through the wonders of the web platform installer technology. You'll get all of what you need. And as soon at the end of that, when all of that is installed, the XE will fire up the little project that it's unzipped and poke it into the Visual Studio environment, and presto, you've got it open right there on your desktop.
I see. So I've got my app. I'm working on it locally. I deploy it into Where do I actually deploy it into when I'm – because I want to put it in the store because I want people to come get my application and I maybe even make money from it. How could I – where do I – where does it go?
So it just keeps getting cooler is the bottom line, Jay. So I brought that app from Napa, which when I hit run in Napa, I was deploying that app to that dev site that I signed up for, which is actually hosted up in Office 365. Now I open that in VIA, like Mark said or like Pav said. We're going to make sure you have the appropriate software installed on your local dev box. Now when you hit F5 in Visual Studio, we've got it wired right back up to that same Office 365 dev site that's in the cloud. And we'll deploy that app so you can test it right there in that same dev site. And then when you're ready to actually publish that from Visual Studio, you use the Publish Wizard. It's going to generate an app package. You're just going to take that app package, put it up on the marketplace, and make millions of dollars probably.
Wow. Golly, I don't have time to finish this interview. I need to go now. Millions of dollars.
And that's the beauty. I mean, right now, the Office Store, it's a great opportunity for developers. Think about all the folks that use Office and SharePoint. There's millions, many hundreds of millions of people. The Office Store is a great opportunity for developers.
Yep. Yeah, it's a brilliant opportunity. You're right. And may I assume then that the Office Store, like the Windows Store, is going to have certain certification requirements to make sure that applications are high quality and don't mess up people's machines, things like that?
Yes, that's right. When you do submit it, there is a little bit of a wait time where your app does need to get certified. And once it is certified, though, then it's up there and anyone can go get it from the marketplace.
Right. Okay. And actually, another point to make really here is that if you were working for a large company and you want to use one of these apps, there's another route for people to get that stuff, right? So there's a thing that they call the Enterprise Catalog or the Enterprise App Store, which actually allows you to get hold of applications that your company would like you to be able to use. So imagine you had some kind of app that's very commonly used inside your company. You want to leverage the power of Office documents, for instance, working with your expense process. Then you're going to be able to build one of these apps for Office that will work just for your enterprise.
And I don't have to deploy it to some public place or worry about my internal IP going out or anything like that.
That's right. That's exactly.
And actually, that internal or that corporate catalog or whatever we should be calling it, it kind of goes two ways. And you can build custom internal apps like line of business apps and install them on your corporate gallery because you don't want that to go public. But actually, kind of the converse is, Your administrators, your SharePoint and Office site administrators can restrict, can bring down apps from the public marketplace or the Office Store and put those into your corporate gallery and make only those available. So there's some controls that the administrator has. So it kind of works two ways.
No, it's brilliant. And you guys are it's not released yet, right? There's still even more coming as far as capabilities, especially in the enterprise, I'm sure. Okay, let's go with a thumbs up, yes, no. I can build this type of app in Outlook, right?
Yes.
And I could build this sort of app in, thumbs up. I can build it in Word?
Yeah.
Okay, and I could build this sort of thing in Excel?
Yes, for sure.
And I could build it in PowerPoint?
Yes, you can.
Oh, my gosh. And I can build it in SharePoint, not to be forgotten.
Absolutely, SharePoint.
Nice. Two thumbs up. SharePoint. Now, is there one I missed there? Is there another one, or
Do I need to pause there?
That all sounds good. Now, I'm sure there's a lot of capabilities and strengths here as far as what I can do with this type of app. I'm curious, are there types of apps that don't fit into this model? If I'm going to build an app that does XYZ, then this really isn't the model for me. Are there apps like that?
So I'll start on the SharePoint side. That's where I know better. There, first of all, we definitely support with the Visual Studio 2012 tools that have recently been released. We definitely support the previous style of app building, commonly called SharePoint Solutions. So you can still build SharePoint Solutions. And there are many apps where if you want to customize kind of the SharePoint environment as a whole, that's the direction you're still going to want to go is to the SharePoint Solutions. Some of those solutions, if you build them appropriately using sandbox solution technology, you can still deploy those to your Office 365 site, and that's definitely what people should be looking to do, developers. So, yeah, if you want to customize the SharePoint environment as a whole, as an all-up, you want to go to the SharePoint solution model.
The way that they've always done, right?
Exactly.
I mean, if you want to do the whole freaking thing, got it.
But where you definitely should be looking at, and I'm going to talk to the SharePoint developers specifically, is you should be looking at building apps for SharePoint, because you're going to be able to leverage the store. All of your apps will be able to be used in Office 365, which we have millions of people move into Office 365. So yeah, that's definitely the model you want to be targeting. But there are some that you need to use the old technology for sometimes.
Yeah, we don't mean old technology. We
no,
mean proven
old.
Technology.
Yeah,
that's what we mean. Stuff
exactly.
That's working today, and doggone it, there's millions of those guys out there.
And it's awesome. You're exactly right. It's not old. It's a customization versus an app model where you install an app that's very focused.
That's a good line to draw. Saurabh, tell me, what app – I'm going to build an app. What's a non-starter in this environment?
I'll kind of follow the same lines Mike did. The traditional Office development platform like VSTO or VBA continue to be supported. VSTO, in fact, is in the VS 2012 box, so you
That's
can
right.
continue creating those add-ins. And then there's different capabilities that are possible in the different Office application that you're trying to build this app for. But kind of the general theme behind these new apps for Office is really their APIs are around interacting with the data in the document. If you look at the traditional VBA and VSTO models, they would also let you automate the Office application. And that's not what these new apps for Office are going after. They're just going after the new apps for Office are just going after creating these interesting mashups with the data that you have in the Office application, in your mail app, in your Word document, and then hooking it up with some other service in the cloud. So that's kind of there's definitely different scenarios you want to target with these apps for Office than you would with the traditional VSTO VBA. Technology.
Yeah,
I suppose it's a similar answer as it is with SharePoint. If you are expecting to write some sort of add-in, what would have traditionally been an add-in that totally reworks how Excel works, let's say, that's probably still Visual Studio Tools for Office.
Yeah, you're going to want to stay with Visual Studio Tools for Office, and for all of those automation and full reconfiguration of the environment type scenarios, if that's really what you want to do, then you definitely want to be staying with VSTO for that. But just like Mike has said, I mean, I think the opportunity for Office add-in writers today to take some of the things that they're doing, where the focus really is around the data and around mashing up the data with the best of the web, that's really a place where you need to be considering the new app model and looking to make some cash there, right?
Build apps.
Well, I mean, that's like a motivational talk if I ever heard one. Just lean closely to the camera and say it loud, nice and loud. Okay, all right, beyond building apps. Well, to your point, though, Pav, there's going to be a type of application that really, if the developer just kind of rethinks what they're doing, it probably does fit into this new app model a lot better than they might have originally thought.
You bet. I mean, some of the things people have been doing, for instance, in task pane apps, very naturally translate over.
Yeah.
We've definitely got people who are interested in doing that already, and I think a lot more people are going to as soon as they figure out what this thing is capable of.
And now the development paradigm is a lot easier. The deployment paradigm is insanely easier.
That's right. So, I mean, you can get started on this thing literally. I mean, we like to say that you can get started in under a minute, right? If you really
launch I think that's fair to say. You could get it if you can't get it under a minute, you're not a real developer. You're a
Ooh, that's throwing down the gauntlet right there.
Took me a week, by the way.
That was Jerry Nixon.
My hello world. It took me a week to get to work. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Now, but you can get to a running application inside of NAPA in minutes. There's no wait. There's nothing to install on your box. You can do this if the fit takes you. You can go do it at the airport kiosk terminal.
Jerry, I actually built an app using my Windows 7 phone. In under a minute.
It was a minute and a half because you had to use your thumbs.
It might have made it a minute and a half. You're right. I'm not a real developer. I'm a program manager.
Okay. All right. So Now, when to choose between Visual Studio and when to choose Napa, the browser-based kind of looks like Visual Studio environment. Sounds pretty clear, right? As soon as you feel it as a developer, you know, you're like, oh, I'm hitting a wall, and I run or do some advanced debugging or whatever. I go into Visual Studio, and all the installation comes for free, right, as part of that process because of the web installer. That's nice. That's really nice because just getting your environment set up for Visual Studio Tools for Office was a trick. Pav, let me ask you a couple questions about Visual Studio Tools for Office. I know that's not what we're talking about, but it's just burning on my mind. What's the new number? What's the version of Visual Studio Tools for Office that's coming?
Oh, gosh. No, it's actually the one that ships with Visual Studio 2012 and with the Visual Studio 2013 Office Developer Tools. I believe that's the proper phrase for it. You didn't warn me you were going to ask that number question. That's where you're going to go ahead and get it. And there's a one-stop shop for that. There's actually the WebPI feed, the Web Platform Installer feed that we fire up when you hit open in Visual Studio inside Napa, bringing it back to Napa again here. When you hit that thing up, you're actually going to get those tools installed as well. So we want Office developers to have a one-stop shop. They don't have to worry about where they're going to go rifling around for these bits.
Hey, Jerry, so it sounds like you're a previous VSTO developer.
Oh, yeah, I'm a big Visual Studio Tools
for Office
guy.
I think my best advice to you would be to build apps.
Wait, I gotta ask another one. Visto backwards compatibility. Does Visto full, maybe it's called 4.5 or something? Is that go back to Office 2010? Do you know?
So
do the apps that I built in 2010 do they run in 2013? I just know that's
you
burning.
Can count on any app that you built for 2010 for Visto to run in 2013. There are a few little wrinkles that we're starting to talk to developers about there. If you've made some assumptions about the way that the app model works, particularly. If Office has changed something on you, one thing has changed there that we want people to be aware of, and I'm going to stop talking about Visto after this.
I'm going to stop asking about Visto.
Basically, if you've made an assumption that there's always an open document in your VSTO add-in that you built for 2010, that assumption is no longer valid in 2013. So we want people to know that they should build a little check there, just do a little defensive coding to check for the document's presence, because they're not always open when you open an Office apps in 2013.
I think it's just fair advice to test your code.
barring those little things, your stuff should just migrate seamlessly forwards to 2013.
Got it. Sarb, can you tell me a little bit about the store? I can sell my app, right? It's not like Visual Studio Gallery.
Yeah, absolutely. You can charge for it. There's a licensing model around it, so you can control the number of users who get access to it. So you could like sell it to an enterprise and sell a 20-user license.
Oh, that's nice.
There's some split there too, which I'm not completely aware of, but if you go to dev.office.com, you'll find more details on it. And actually, also on that site, there's a contest going on right now for app developers, where if you submit your app to the marketplace, you get entered into this contest, which has a lot of prizes. I think the first prize is like 10 grand.
Holy smokes. I'd do it if it was maybe 11, but not for 10.
We have competitions that go to 11, that's right.
Yeah.
So you can have like trial mode, so if you want to have an app that's trial mode, and then have an upsell inside the product and
you can have in-app purchases.
As far as like upgrading from a trial to a paid version, yep.
And can you have advertising in their app in your apps?
You know, I don't know.
That's a great question. I don't know if there's anything that stops you. I don't know what the guidelines are. I imagine the guidelines are not to have advertising.
That's the difference between your basic mode and your pro mode, I guess, right?
You're not going to win the $10,000 prize, probably, if it's just got a bunch of ads in
there. And the button that you need to click is real little. It's surrounded by all these ads. If you can get it, that's right.
Little advertising. Okay.
That's right. All right. Sounds like the right kind of apps to build inside this new apps for Office model is almost all of them. I mean, really. I mean, there's going to be these edge cases, and Visual Studio for Office is still out there to take care of those. But really, the bulk are going to be handled by these apps. And if you do it, it means you're going to be able to support not only Office that is installed, but also Office that's on the web as well, which is more and more and more a viable product, right? I mean, it really is something that you can get involved in or start to use as a word processor, let's say, and not be disappointed.
And think about this for a scenario. I don't know if you picked up when Saurabh mentioned it earlier, but now everything that you can do with an app in the rich version of Outlook on the client is possible in OWA, in Outlook Web Access. So mm-hmm. when you're accessing your mail from the airport, you can now get these excellent add-ins that are going to trigger and show you how to do things right inside your mail when you're viewing it at the airport.
Yeah, and actually Outlook goes even further. It also works with tablets and your phone. So
right.
It covers all devices.
Yeah.
And I'm building these in JavaScript. How much of JavaScript can I actually use?
I'm not sure.
I could bring in libraries and
totally. You could go use all the web technologies that are out there. In fact, if you use our Visual Studio or Napa templates, we make heavy use of jQuery all the time.
Yeah.
So and there's a bunch of demos we have out there, which all they really show you is how you could just reuse existing libraries, like visualization libraries, like charting libraries, and then just pull them in and create apps for Excel that use this JavaScript and CSS and can create interactive charts now in Excel, which wouldn't traditionally be possible. So,
actually, maybe I'll bring this up, Jerry. I mean, remember earlier I said that when you want to get started using Napa, you actually add the Napa app to your dev site. Napa is an app. We have used the same exact app model that we're asking the developers to use to build Napa. And you can go out and see how robust Napa is. It's got, we use JavaScript and we use server code. Remember, in Napa, we're using HTML, JavaScript, but you can always go into Visual Studio and use server code. And so we've done exactly that to build Napa.
Yeah.
Is we use Visual Studio 2012, and we have just built this really awesome app that allows developers to build apps in.
So wherever you would have built an app before, right? If you're a web developer today, you can go ahead and build apps using that familiar place that you're happy with, and all you're getting is extra goodness here, right? That's the ability to interact with the world of SharePoint and the world of Office documents.
Mm-hmm. Extra goodness, nice. So Napa is new to a lot of developers, guys. Let's go around the table and each of you tell me, what's your favorite part of Napa, or even something that you're looking forward to seeing Napa implement? But Mike, do you want to start?
Okay, we already touched on the feature, actually. It's the open in VS feature. I just think that gives developers, Napa obviously the best place to get started building apps, but that open in VS feature allows you to go beyond what Napa can do today and open that project, that same exact project up in VS, and as well as help you acquire the appropriate tools if you don't have them. So I think that'd be my favorite feature right now.
Nice. Okay, Saurabh, let's hear yours. Wait a minute, Bob. Build an app, Bob. Build an app. All right, let's hear yours, Saurabh.
All right. So my favorite feature, actually, we just introduced this, I think, like a couple of weeks ago. It's project sharing. We've just made Napa a little bit more social. So the idea is you wrote up this cool app, you wrote up some source code, you found out about this new app model, and you want to share it with your friends or with other users out there, other developers out there. We've added a Share My Project button where when you click it, it's just going to create a short URL which others can access and view all your source code. And if they already have a Napa account, then they can actually copy your project over to their account and run it in their account and continue developing your project. So it's a great way to kind of share your knowledge and get some kudos in the community.
That's right.
And by share, yeah, I mean, it's the logic of branching in a lot of ways, right? You almost branch it off to a friend or something like that.
Sort of, yeah. I wouldn't call it source code control, really. It's really a way of encouraging people to show some exciting examples of how they're building apps.
Or to seek friends' help, right?
Or to seek help.
Imagine you're working away in the product, and you've started working your app for Office, and you want to ask Saurabh here a question.
Yeah.
You just ping him with a little link, aka.ms link, and he can open up your project and see where you've made that dumb mistake and send it right back to you, right?
No, I don't get it. You lost me a dumb mistake. I just don't get it.
They're on a dumb mistake.
All right, Pav, you got a favorite feature?
Mine, really. I actually really love our editor environment. It's one of those things that it doesn't disappoint, right? We have a beautiful editor and file system management system that basically does everything that you need it to do. The editor is actually a pretty mature editor. I don't know if you've actually had time to poke around in it, but there's keystroke support for all kinds of things, block editing, or outline, navigating through the outline of your JavaScript. This isn't just some sort of cheap and cheerful thing. It's a real full-featured editor that lets you get the job done surprisingly well. And it incorporates a bunch of features that let you be productive and spot errors quickly. So, for instance, it's got some technology that helps you find mistakes in your code, undefined variables, those kinds of things. You've even got red squigglies in here. So your old friends, the red squigglies, are with you. And it's got autocomplete.
I've never seen a red squiggly, Pop. What is that for?
Once again, we're back to the whole you never make mistakes. But it's great for that, and really it really helps you to get the code right. And
All right.
It's actually a pretty much a pleasure to work in my view.
Nice. All right. Thanks. I appreciate that. Guys, for a lot of developers, Napa is brand new. They've never heard of it, and this is their intro into it and kind of their on-ramp. They know to go to dev.office.com to get started, spin up their 365 account, and go from there. I appreciate that. For those that are already building it, this is their chance to kind of see a face with the name and know kind of who to blame. You know what I mean? No, seriously. I want to thank all you guys for being on the show. And for you, the developer watching this, seriously, here's yet another opportunity. We all know that Office is a major fork in Microsoft's business, an absolutely unbelievable spread of desktops that are running it. And now with the next version, the introduction of this store brings yet another opportunity for you to be able to take advantage of that breadth and either make some money or just be the entrepreneur that you want to be because of the ideas that you have. Now, because of Napa, those applications are that much easier to build and certainly that much easier to deploy. Don't miss this opportunity and just let it pass by. Be the one that jumps on the train just as it's moving out of the gate. Guys, thanks again for being on the show. I really appreciate it.
Oh, you bet. Thank you.
Thanks.
All right. Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.